Senate State Affairs to order. It's about 1 minute after 9. Present are Vice Chair Geisel and Senator Coghill and me, Chair Dyson. And we got, once again, the A-team here assisting us. Nancy Jones doing the recording, and Stephanie, thank you for being here and helping us. So we have only 3 confirmations this morning. Who do we have online? Okay, well, I think they're all reappointments, as I remember. The first one I'll take up is the Commission on Human Rights, and Krista Bruce Kotrick, is that correct? All right, so...
She's not online yet.
Okay.
But Grace is.
Grace Merkus is the second one.
All right, well, we'll move then to Grace. Grace, can you hear us?
I can.
Now, where are you?
I'm in Florida.
I don't want to hear about the weather. Grace, tell us a little bit about your background and why you've chosen to do this and how it's going.
Okay, thank you, Senator Dyson. And hello to the rest of the commission there, or the committee. I've actually been, my name is Grace Merkus, and I've been on the Alaska Human Rights Commission for over 10 years. And I'm hoping for reconfirmation, again, for a new term. My husband's Leon and Merkus, and we came to Alaska in 1956. We were married for over 50 years. We homesteaded in Sterling, Alaska. 8 children there, all of which live in Alaska, except one still lives in San Francisco. And some of my qualifications that I feel that helped me make a good candidate for the Alaska Human Rights Commission are my interest in being a Human Rights Commission. To see that there's a discrimination action that have taken place, that they're thoroughly investigated, and then to decide if there's substantial evidence and come up with a conclusion that is fair to all. I have many years of experience through the Alaska Human Rights Commission on the discrimination law, and also I was involved when we worked on changing the law with the legislators there in Juneau a few years ago, and there were a couple things that we would like to have seen changed. You know, I believe that, you know, all people are created equal, and everybody should have a right to not be discriminated against for certain reasons. My experience on the Borough Assembly, I feel, helps make good decisions. I've been on the Borough Assembly for 17 years. We had a look at all sides of the issue and then make a decision what I felt was, you know, in the best interest of everything and everybody involved. So that's kind of how I look at the Human Rights Commission also. We need to look at the whole situation. And another reason I think I'm qualified is because I am very familiar with the process that the Human Rights Commission does and the staff, you know, with their mediation and the settlements and the administrative hearings. The commissioners have to review the cases, and I have time to do that. So those are some of the reasons why I think I am qualified to be, continue to be a member on the Human Rights Commission, and I would ask for your confirmation.
Thank you.
A little bit of information if you're interested on the commission. A few statistics. There were, in 2012, there were over 2,000 investigative calls coming into the office, and we had 2 new investigators assigned to the Human Rights Commission, which was greatly appreciated through the governor and the legislators' funding, and it helped reduce the caseload per officer. But we still had a 31% increase in the total caseload. So the two caseworkers that were in, that we got increase in our staff sure helped a lot, and it helped reduce the caseworker's case to about 30 per case. We help get our cases out sooner at a better time frame. So with that, I would thank you for listening to me and ask if you have any questions.
Yeah. Any questions or comments?
Just a comment.
Or Senator Coghill?
Just a thank you for serving on the committee, Grace. I really appreciate it. I know that the workload is high, but I appreciate your attitude and I'm very grateful for your work. So,
Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Hello, Grace. I, too, want to thank you. I know what a dedicated person you are to our community there in Sterling and to the state of Alaska, and thank you very much for reapplying for this commission.
Grace is.
I want to thank you guys for what all you do for our state, too, so thank you.
Yeah, and thank you, too. This is Dyson. I served on the commission for 4 or 5 years, I think, before your time. Who's the director now?
It is still Paula Haley.
Oh, yeah, same lady I worked with.
I think he's been since the commission started, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think so. During the time I was there, most of the complaints coming to the commission were on discrimination in employment. What's your experience?
That's what we're seeing, too, and I don't have the number, but it's generally about, I would say, 95% of our cases, or at least 90% are discrimination and employment issues.
You mentioned in your initial comments here that you all maybe have some statute changes you'd like to see. Did I hear you correctly?
No, when I was on the commission a few years ago, I think it was maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, the two of the things in the statute were changed, and it pretty much was what the commission was hoping for, and I don't remember the exact changes, but they were good ones for everybody involved. And I don't think we're looking for a change right now, though.
All right.
One thing that did change quite substantially was putting the Human Rights Commission hearings with the administrative law judges in the ballpark of the, you know, the hearing law judges. It used to be that the Human Rights Commission hired a contractor to have the hearings.
All right, thank you. I'm sure I speak for the other members of the committee that anything that needs to be done to make the commission more effective and to protect human rights, we're into it. Is there any objection to passing Grace's reappointment on? Seeing none, we will do so. And thanks again, Grace.
Thank you, Senator Dyson and the committee.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Yeah, thank you. The next one we have is Krista Bruce Kotrick on yet?
By request of the meeting organizer, all participants have been muted.
Pardon? Okay, all right. And I think we have her information. Any questions or discussions from the committee?
Only one, Mr. Chair. Do we know if she's a reappointment or a new?
I thought she was a reappointment. Is that right, Ken? Ken?
She's on other business. Our LIO staff says her system is completely frozen. If we could take it at ease.
All right, we'll take it at ease. I see that she is a real. On the record, I believe we were dealing with. Krista Bruce Cottrick. Can you hear us, Krista? Here, get closer to the mic if you can.
I'm right as close as I can get.
All right, we got you loud and clear, and thank you for your service. Can you tell us why you have chosen to serve and what your experience has been? Maybe something you're... Well, I'm not going to ask you to talk about your resume. We only have a week and a half or so to deal with this. Very impressive. But please, why have you chosen to serve? And what's that experience been like?
Well, I was born in Colorado to a lawyer family, and I subsequently married one who brought me to Alaska. I've never regretted that I've come to Alaska. I've always had this interest in constitutional law and legal matters, and I was not being the only one that in the family is not a lawyer. It seemed like this is a way I could serve. So. I've only been on the commission a year, but I, although I'm working with health education actually through AHEC now, I find that my work on the commission just feeds that part of my soul that cares a great deal about serving everyone equally. Having the commission gives hope to people who feel, you know, disenfranchised and I appreciate being a part of that.
Did you hear my discussion with Grace Merkies?
Actually, I'm sorry I didn't because it cut out. But no, I didn't.
Yeah. I just asked her what her sense was of the cases that came before it. I served on the board at that time. It was predominantly discrimination in the workplace stuff. And she said that's still true. Is that your perspective?
Yes, I think so, definitely. And it's wonderful to have this venue to address those issues. It's very important.
Yeah. Is there any pattern to it or are common denominators on many or most of the cases you see?
I frankly can't answer that well because... Not all of us serve on everything, and I've only been there a year, so what has come before me, I haven't seen enough to see a pattern, no, but I can say that I've seen firsthand diligent and well-researched work by the staff, I'm proud of the work that they do, and the commission members themselves are diligent and thoughtful and respectful and they're good people.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? All right. Thanks again for your service. And please, when you and you all see things in statute law that could be cleared up or need to be changed, let us know.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Now we'll go on to the Board of Parole. Sarah Placenti, can you hear us, Sarah?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Well, please tell us a little bit about your background and any qualifications you might have and your experience with the Board of Parole.
Yes, thank you. I was born and raised in Fairbanks and... still live here. I went to UAF and graduated with a bachelor's in social work and a bachelor's in justice. I then worked as a program coordinator at the youth court here in Fairbanks, and then I started working as a probation officer, an adult probation officer. I was a probation officer for almost 12 years. 8 of those years I worked in the field. And then 4, I worked in the institution at the prison here in Fairbanks. While I was a probation officer in the field, I primarily supervised sex offenders. I worked closely with treatment providers and community members who then became safety net members to reduce the risk of the individuals coming out of prison back into the communities, so that they could be in the community and have some safety net around them to reduce their risk and raise safety in the community. When I worked at the institution, I worked closely with a substance abuse program that was instituted there, and worked in getting prisoners into the program and getting them through, and worked with the treatment providers to make the experience of them graduating from a treatment program a memorable one. You know, we worked really hard to, you know, make it a big deal that they were doing a program and graduating from it, and then worked with the inmates on releasing to the community and making good community plans for when they released. For the past 2 years, I've been on the Board of Parole, and I've been working with the Parole Board, reviewing files. We have hearings. We go to the prisons and review cases, talk to the inmates, get treatment providers' inputs, get the probation officers' inputs, and then make decisions about when they should be paroled and what their plan is when they go out to the community. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Questions or comments from the committee?
Mr. Chairman, just first of all, thank you for stepping up. I didn't want it to go past without letting you know we're grateful for your willingness to work.
And I assume that you're retired from state employment now, is that correct?
I'm not. I only worked as a probation officer for 12 years. Before then, I wanted to be home with my family more, and this opportunity came up, and it works well for both to be involved in the justice system and to be home more.
Yeah, so you're not working for the, is it correct, you're not working for the state now?
No, I'm not.
Okay, thank you. All right. Any other questions or comments? I agree with Senator Coghill. We sure appreciate your service. I would enjoy an offline conversation with you. My office is working quite a bit on sentencing reform, and then the whole process, particularly with felony convictions of when it's appropriate getting perpetrators to have that barrier to employment and other rights restored. And I would really enjoy having that conversation. Is that of interest to you?
Yes, yes. I mean, we have a lot of ideas about different release plans and working with them, working with community, working with employers. You know, when we see people who are applying for parole, they're applying for discretionary parole. And so, you know, we look at everything. We look at what we've done. You know, we base our decisions on what risk they pose to the community and what they've done to reduce that risk while they're in custody. And then we can sit down with them and make a plan for if they are going to be released on the discretionary parole, what that plan is going to look like to include employment and include getting wraparound services in the community for them. And we, our discretionary parole releases have a much lower recidivism rate than our mandatory parole releases, who, you know, they just get released onto mandatory parole. It's not something that they have to come in front of us for. And, you know, right. I would be very interested in having that discussion with you. I think it's really important to get the community involved to
okay.
help
Grace.
Them.
You're telling me more than I need to know at this time, but I really appreciate your willingness to help us. And do you ever get to Anchorage?
Oh, yes. We're there about once a month.
Yeah, so we will go out of our way in my office to meet with you when you're next going to be in South Central. And we enjoy a couple-hour conversation. And thanks again for your service. I think we'll go to Jared Godfrey. Are you online, Jared?
Yeah, it's Jared Godfrey calling from Anchorage.
Yeah, thank you. Jared's on the Violent Crimes Compensation Board, and this is a reappointment, and I know personally that he has served with a lot of enthusiasm. For the record, I have to say that he is a friend, and I've known the family for a long, long time. And he's wise enough to be a constituent in the Eagle River area. Please, Jared, somewhat briefly, can you tell us why you've chosen to serve and a bit of your experience?
Yeah, I'll keep this really brief. I was originally appointed in 2003 by Governor Murkowski. Came to the board, was asked if I'd be interested in serving because some of my family members were victims of violent crime, and I was advocating in a capacity for my mother at the time, who was a gunshot victim, survivor. And so eventually, well, here I am now. Obviously, I took the point and I served. I've been reappointed multiple times. And it's been a gratifying experience being able to help other victims, cathartic, I guess you could say as well, having seen up close and personal survivors of violent crime. It gives the opportunity to bring that insight perspective when adjudicating claims. My goal was really to leave the board in a better position than it was when I came on it. And my last appointment, I said, would be my last. That would be it. Here I am again. This will be my last appointment, though, and I think the last major initiative the board is attempting to do is revamp our statutes. Bring them up to date. The statutes are, by and large, 40 years old with a few adjustments here and there, a number of which we had gotten through the legislature with the help of senators like yourself, Senator Coghill as well, and really appreciate the legislators' assistance and commitment to the board and its mission and victims, crime victims in the state of Alaska. So the last thing we want to do is just revamp these statutes and bring them up to date and take and revise some things that we see are problematic with our experience that probably were not foreseen 40 years ago. That's it. I can answer any questions otherwise.
Any questions or comments? All right, thanks. we'll move on now to Mark Mew. Are you there, Mark?
My phone just beeped. I don't know if I'm muted or not now, but I am here.
Yeah, we got you loud and clear. Thank you, Mark, and thanks for your service. Let's see, are we reappointing you?
I'm up for reappointment, yes, sir.
Yeah,
I think I filled when I came on board, an open partial term, and I think now I'm up for a permanent or full term.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, and I can say personally that Mark has been Chief of Police at Anchorage some time, and a remarkable positive record there. Mark, will you tell us a little bit why you chose to serve on this board and a bit of your experience?
Sure. Thank you very much for the chance to talk and for the chance to serve on the Alaska Police Standards Council. You know, I started in law enforcement in Oregon after I got out of college. I think probably about 1980, I was in corrections down there, attended a corrections academy. So I've seen, I know something about what goes on in the correction world. Been at APD since 1983. I came on as a patrol officer. Retired in 2003. Went to the school district where I worked as the director of security and emergency preparedness for six and a half years. And was able to come back to the APD in January of 2010 as chief. Along the way, I attended the FBI's National Academy, which is a three-month school for commanders, and recently was able to participate in the National Executive Institute, which is a Department of Justice-sponsored school for police chiefs. Just completed that in 2011. I have a degree in anthropology, and that's a little bit about me. I have a wife, two kids, been married once. We raised our family in Eagle River, and kids are grown now, and daughter's about to graduate from college. Then they'll all be on their own. As far as the council goes, you know, I think that the council does several things. They set the hiring standards. They set the training standards. Those things are fairly stable, have been over time. I don't think they require a great deal of work to maintain. The other thing that the council does, though, that is very important and is always a lot of business for the council, and that is looking at disciplinary cases and deciding when certificates should be revoked. I think this is a very important function for the council because it maintains the standards of performance and behavior that the state requires, the citizens require. And I have a big interest and a vested interest, of course, being a large department in seeing those standards maintained. I mean, we've just come off of the Anthony Rollins matter ourselves. I cannot overemphasize the impact to the community when something like that happens. And not just the fact that you have an officer that is convicted of raping his prisoners, the public trust that you sacrificed, the hard dollars. We've had 12 lawsuits as a result of this. It's cost our taxpayers probably $7 million here. And I just recently had to go to San Francisco to meet with 12 underwriters, large underwriters, to try and convince them that the municipality is still a good organization and worth insuring. It's devastating when something like this happens, and the extent that the Standards Council can help keep these standards, prevent folks like this from getting into our business and getting rid of them when they have made it in, is a high priority for me. Now, I don't sit in on my own cases. I have to recuse myself from them, but I do have the opportunity to discuss what I think the standards should be in the other cases, and so the other members of the council know what's important to Anchorage, and I think they reflect that when I'm out of the room and they're hearing cases that come from the APD. I think between the APD and troopers, we hire and fire more people in the state than anyone else, so we're generating most of the business. And if people leave us and keep their certifications, you know, they're going to end up in smaller Alaska departments. So I think it's really important for the APD and the troopers to be intimately involved in the workings of the council. So I'll stop talking at this point and answer your questions, but I think I've addressed what you asked me to speak on.
Questions or comments, the committee? I know Mark a bit, and I've watched him deal honorably with some very tough situations. Mark, my next questions and comments are not pejorative. Most of us, and I think it happens more with males than females, but there's unwritten tradition in our country, you never rat out your buddies, and nobody likes stool pigeons and so on. And I don't know that that's been an issue in your department, but would you say a few words about that?
Sure. I can tell you that our employees are very forthcoming with information that should be of concern to management, and I don't think we have that problem. I'm not saying it's never occurred, but we get reports of misconduct from officers about other officers. Sometimes they get misconduct reports in other ways. Either our supervisors see it themselves or a citizen will report something. And when that happens, we do an investigation and we generally interview many employees that may have been witness to whatever the allegation is, and they are forthcoming. We always... The only times people have lied to us during investigations, I mean, that is a death sentence for us. And everyone knows it, and we set a high mark there. And, in fact, I think a lot of the decertification proceedings that the council sees probably have an element of untruth, and that's why the council is considering, often it's why the council is considering decertification. I mean, officers will make mistakes. They generally take their punishment, learn from it, and move on, and that's the way we like it to be. When they are dishonest about it, though, it is generally fatal to them, and it's not tolerated. And I think that, in general, the employees, they understand that the standards need to be high, and they cooperate very well when there's investigations, I would say, at the APD anyway.
Yeah, in the case you just mentioned a few minutes ago, it seems difficult to me to think that none of the other officers knew about it, but, I mean, that's your business. Another thing I noticed happening 15 years ago, it appeared some officers who had problems and were going through the process of decertification, as you're talking about. It seems to me that in a couple of cases I know about, there was a deal cut with bargaining units so that those people could retire, retain their benefits, and not have the stigma of being decertified. And I watched one of them from, actually a neighbor's I know, went from problems in one department, went on to be chief in two other smaller communities with very bad results. Please comment on that. I hope you'll tell me that my information is utterly inaccurate and that there's never been a problem. But anyways, would you comment, sir?
I can't recall a time at the APD. If it happened, it maybe was before I was high enough up in the organization to know that it happened. But since I've been in position to know these things, I can't recall of a time when anyone was I can't recall anybody having a deal like that cut. I guess what you're saying is that they should have been fired and instead allowed somehow to stay on and keep certification. Sometimes we will terminate someone and we can't help whether or not they can collect their retirement. That's beyond our control. But we do make the decision of whether or not to ask for their certification. And usually when we fire someone, I will tell you that usually and probably almost all the time, we also move for decertification. There are times when an employee, I will say, can see the handwriting on the wall, knows that we're going to complete an investigation, and that they're probably going to be terminated, and they'll quit on us before we have the evidence necessary to terminate. We still fill out the paperwork and check. There's four boxes on the form. We check the box. Were they under investigation when they left? Did they leave and they quit in lieu of termination? Would you rehire? And would you recommend decertification? And we will still check those boxes, even if the employee did not stick around long enough to be terminated.
And I assume that
I hope I'm answering the question.
Oh, you're doing fine. And they're not pejorative questions. Then I assume that future potential employers have access to that record?
Correct. Because what's going to happen is the next time that person applies, they're going to have to fill out, they go to a different department, they fill out an application. That department's going to do a background check. That's going to include checking with all previous employers, so they're going to be calling the APD, and they will be sending a higher a waiver. If the prospective employee has to sign a waiver saying that it's okay for previous employers to tell them anything about them that would normally be confidential personnel records. So we're going to get that waiver, and we're going to tell the prospective employer what was going on. Also, the Police Standards Council is going to look at, they get word of who's being hired, and they have a chance then to say, you know, we're not going to issue this person we can't stop you from hiring them, but we're not going to issue them a certificate, because it's been revoked. And so there's like two ways that person is probably not going to be able to be hired. One would be through the council, one would be through the background check process that the department would, the hiring department would go through.
All right. Any questions or comments from the committee members? Thanks again for your service, Mark. Look forward to seeing you when I get home. The last person we had to testify is Jeff Edwards, Executive Director of the Alaska Board of Parole. Can you hear us, Jeff?
Yes, sir, I can hear you. I was mainly there just to support and offer any answers to any questions for Ms. Pacenti, Ms. Sarah Pacenti, for her reconfirmation on the parole board.
All right, thank you. Is there any questions? Did you hear my conversation with her?
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay, well, I'd enjoy if you feel it's appropriate to be able to visit with you about the whole issue of at some point the expungement of felony records, particularly when it's appropriate. Are you based in Anchorage?
Yes, our office is located in downtown Anchorage.
Yeah. Would you be open to that conversation? Or is that permissible
yes,
for you?
Yeah, definitely so. In fact, our office, not only our primary function is the parole function, however, my office also does executive clemency and pardons for on behalf of the governor's office. We conduct the investigations, and a lot of our phone calls regarding that has to deal with barrier crimes and employment.
All right. Well, thank you for your service, and look forward to talking to you. Any questions or comments from the committee? All right. I move the following appointments to be forward to a joint session. That's Krista Bruce Kotrick on the Commission on Human Rights, Grace Merkies, same, Board of Parole, Sarah Pozenti, Violent Crimes Compensation Board, Gerald Godfrey, and Police Standards Council, Mark Mew. Is there objections? All right. I wish to clarify this motion does not reflect intent by any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of the individuals during what would be a joint session. Any questions, comments? All right. We're adjourned. Thank you all for your